Welcome to When I'm in Charge, That'll Be Different. I am business mentor and life coach, Karen Gillen, and I am so excited to share with you the conversation ahead. Just signed off with Ron Flint, or Uncle Ron in my case. We had a conversation about his second generation ownership of my grandfather and grandmother's department store, which is known as the Nugget Alaskan Outfitter at this point. And we talked about business from kind of a different angle, not one of I am called to do this work, but one of I'm called to live in this place. And how can I show up here and do the life I want to do in a way that works for me, doing stuff I care about doing enough to do it every day and to do it in a way where I can take care of the people I work with and live the life I want to live. So I look forward to you getting to know Uncle Ron, and also just notice, you know, if you've listened to the episode with Rocky Flint, his brother, my father, and you've been around my world for a while, you may notice a sense of calm. And I think I get it from the Flint side of the family. And Uncle Ron references that in his conversation about, you know, there's all these different ways to manage people. And some of us do it in a pretty mellow way. But I just like noticing the similarities between he and my father and myself. And I look forward to you getting to know him a little bit. And we'll, of course, link up all of the Nugget Alaskan Outfitter stuff in the show notes. Don't forget to leave a review. Thank you. Okay, so today we get to talk to Uncle Ron. This is Ron Flint, owner, operator of Nugget Alaskan Outfitter in Juneau, Alaska. And I would love it if you would just take a second and introduce yourself. How do you talk about you and what you do?
Well, a lot of times the conversation, I was born in the territory of Alaska, just barely by about, I don't know what it was, 6 months or something like that, if that. But that's certainly like we were talking a little earlier about my focus, you know, is maybe not as serious business and all that, but it's all about Alaska, you know. Mm-hmm. Love Southeast. You know, and I was thinking about that the other day too. And I remember when I was younger, I was a little scared of the outside world, you know, going to Seattle and the big city. And it's like, whoa, you know, a kid from the country kind of deal. And it's like, I'm not sure I like that. You know, I mean, I've gotten a little more comfortable since then. But small town kid, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Alaskan.
I like how you kind of already outed the path. You're saying, I'm this guy from small town Alaska. I always wanted to live here. I wanted to stay in Alaska. And I know you come at business kind of naturally, but also you're coming at it from a, how do I stay here? How do I play here? How do I be around the people who are doing what I want to do here? And then you're in this business where you sell things that help people go and do stuff right. That takes advantage of where you are.
Right. You know, and it wasn't always that way. I mean, when we start, you know, my background is definitely grew up in the department store.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a little stuffy and whatnot. And I never envisioned, you know, going down that being the end game, you know. And so it morphed as it went along. And I think it morphed also, you know, between, you know, the outdoors becoming popular and people dressing a little less formally. I mean, we used to have ties and dress shirts and slacks, sport coats and that kind of jazz. And I mean, back in the Barons day, there were suits and that kind of thing, but and being the state capital and that kind of thing, there was certainly that element, but fortunately it got away from that. And we started adding the outdoor equipment and that kind of thing. And a lot of what people wear around here just works great in the outdoors.
You went from dressing the people who help run the state of Alaska in their sport coats and suits to dressing them in their outdoor gear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For what they want to do.
Right. What they want to do, not what they maybe have to do. What's your favorite thing to wear to work, given you work in a place where you can wear whatever you want and have all the best brands? at your fingertips, literally.
Where to work, huh? Well, okay, you know, everybody likes casual Friday, right? You know, so, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty casual around here all the time. But, you know, I think, you know, something, you know, nicer, high tech, you know, I mean, certainly like the merino wool stuff nowadays, mm-hmm. and it's a great performance item, but looks great too. And I mean, you can wear it, you know, to the office, and you can, it's one of the best things you can wear outdoors too. And so, you know, things that are multi faceted or whatever, multifunction, that kind of thing, and look good too, you know, kind of a subtle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you're speaking the life coach language right now, because, and I've talked to many coaches about this, where we kind of have our life coach work jammies and our professional jammies and then our jammy jammies. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a job where we've been on Zoom for years, and now everyone else is joining us here in the land of, it really only matters what you wear on top.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So you grew up in a department store, and now you run an outdoor gear store. But I think what's fun about your perspective is, you know, you're second generation running a business, and you're also managing a lot of people. What I know about retail is the turnover can be high in the people department. So I'd love to touch on both of those things.
Right. Now, before we go there, I just want to throw in a little disclaimer that, and I don't know if I should spread this around, that it's actually still a department store.
Oh, okay.
We have the footwear department, the outdoor department, the men's department, the women's department, kids department.
Uh-huh.
But in the front, you know, we got that outdoor stuff. And so people, but I mean, from a structural and the functional standpoint, it's very much, you know, mm-hmm. still look at it as a department store.
Good point.
Yeah. Now on to the employee situation. I mean, the current situation has, you know, magnified how fortunate we are currently, because there are a lot of people who, when the pandemic hit a year ago, they shut down and let everybody go and mm-hmm. haven't been able to get them back in some situations. And fortunately, we were in a position to, you know, we applied for PPP, and so didn't know for sure, but, you know, fortunately we had reserves, you know, we mm-hmm. had saved for a rainy day. And so I was able to go, oh, we've got things we can do. And so, we were able to, you know, yeah, keep the staff going. And then once things got going again, they got going faster than they were before. And there were some people who had some time off available. They're going to go outdoors. And so things got even more busy. And fortunately, we've been able to keep up for the most part. There's been some shortages here and there for sure. But I think, and, you know, we've been very fortunate that we've had, and we've always had, even before the pandemic, a core group of employees, like half of our staff. Say we have a dozen people. We've had five or six, seven people that have been with us. You know, in one case, Nancy, my head buyer, has been with me for over 30 years now,
mm-hmm.
Like me. And then, you know, Eric's been here for over 20, you know, Candy's 10 or 15, Steph's here over 5 years, you know. And so.
How do you do that?
Hmm?
How do you do that? How do you keep people around?
You know, I can't say that it's, you know, it's, they're here for the money. It's not that. I mean, it's not, you know, we're not paying huge wages or whatever, but I think it's a, you know, I mean, you always say, it's a family type. It's smaller, you know, they want to work in a smaller, where you know the people, you know your boss. And I think they feel like, you know, I care and, you know, what goes on. And
do they, you know, do they feel like that, or is that because you actually do care?
Yeah. Yeah, both, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think they, you know, I'm here. I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, just dropping in. You know, it's, I don't have multiple businesses, and I'm just here, and this is a part-time thing or whatever. You know, I'm here walking the walk, the talk and all that jazz, you know, so.
Yeah.
You know, I'm involved and that kind of thing. Yeah.
That's huge. I mean, just doing a thing you want to be doing and caring about the thing, it's attractive. And I think the research shows it's not actually about the money. That's not how you keep employees, the other stuff.
Yeah. And as a disclaimer, I don't do a very good job of walking around and, hey, guy, you're doing a great job there, you know, blah, blah, blah. I know there's people that can go around and be a better cheerleader than I am, unfortunately. And I apologize to my employees on occasion when we are talking about that, you know, hey, you know, I should tell you more often how, you know, you're doing a great, you know, and you're major, but you know, they know they're a main part of what's going on here, and I appreciate it. And then, you know, I think the times when I finally do come clean with them and tell them, you know what, I really appreciate, you know, the fact that you work here and you're doing a great job and that kind of thing, that, you know, it means more to you. It's not like, oh, he says that all the time. So I think, you know, it's sincere, whatever.
Awesome. So people stick around. You get to work with the same people and get to know them. What's it like doing business in the town you grew up in? Like, do you know everyone who walks through the door?
Well, no. There's a lot of turnover in Juneau. People-wise, come and go. For a town of... It's a big town for 30,000, roughly, in some regards. And then other times, yeah, it's a small town when somebody comes in that you've known, or they remember. I remember when your dad was a milkman. Growing up, that kind of thing. So, you know, that's pretty fun stuff. You know, they were calling your family, or, you know, I remember you're down at Barron's, or you're over at the Nugget Mall, and all this kind of thing. So that's kind of fun. But it is, unfortunately, I don't know everybody that comes in. But, you know, they're just friends we haven't made yet, right?
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? Doesn't have to be the favorite, but a favorite customer service story that you've been able to pull off or enjoy in the last couple of decades?
I don't know about that. One thing that stands out as much as I think when I think about customer service, one of my favorite areas is believe it or not, the shoe department.
Me too. I feel you.
It just seems like that's where you have the potential to create some really great customers. I mean, people can go and try on a jacket, whatever. Yeah, this works, whatnot. That's Gore-Tex, rubber, whatever. But in the shoe department, sometimes if it's a situation where they have an issue or a foot problems bugging them, and you're able to, and typically you're there with them more than 2 minutes, sometimes it's a half hour or longer. And, you know, you're getting to know each other and what's going on and this kind of deal. And so I know it's kind of weird, you know, oh, what's your department? But I tell people that, you know, that's where we make some of our best customers and long lasting. You know?
Yeah. So. I mean, that's actually one of the bucket list jobs that I never had yet was the Nordstrom shoe department.
There you go. That is like
the pinnacle.
My dad, Des, you know, told me about, he used to buy some of his dress shoes there, and he talked about, oh yeah, they got shoes with the combination last. It's got the, you know, B front and the double A heel and that kind of thing. So
speaking a whole different language. But I think that's like, it's a, you know, in coaching, we're always looking at clients showing up and being vulnerable and working on their hopes and their dreams with us. And the shoe department is pretty much the same thing. Like, can I even dream to walk without pain? Can you help me with that? It's a big deal.
Creates a domino effect a lot of times if you can't, you know. Can't get moving or stay moving.
So as a second generation owner, is there anything that you wish you would have known taking this role on, deciding like, there's probably a million things, but like anything stand out?
Yeah. I mean, without elaborating too much, I wish I'd opened my eyes to the ownership situation. And this is very, very important for your people, whoever's mm-hmm. listening to this and they're about talking about business, understanding what the path is, you know, what's the ownership situation.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited my parents' partners.
Yeah.
And my parents have been gone for, well, my dad's been gone for, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I still have his partners. And my mom, bless her heart, she got them to sign a ownership agreement that when they passed, that, you know, they had to, this company got to look at their, you know, get their stock or make an offer on their stock so that it didn't just go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
Me working for their partners.
Mm-hmm.
That's been probably my biggest.
Yeah. So what are you setting up for what comes next, and how will that actually play out 10, 20, 40, 50 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, succession planning, right? I mean, it's important, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I'm kind of dealing with the past succession planning. and so it's a process, and it's slowly, you know, as life goes on and ends up resolving itself, sometimes painfully. But I would certainly encourage anyone that's getting in business with an existing business or whatever, and setting up a business, you know, going into partnership with your best buddy, you know, 50-50 mm-hmm. partners, maybe, you know,
yeah.
You know, unless somebody's got 51, I mean, I was in that 50-50 deal, kind of us and them, for a long time, and that's changed recently, so that's made my life better, but certainly something to think about.
Absolutely. Seth Godin did a podcast, and I can never remember the name of it, but I reference it often on his Akimbo podcast, talking about business partnerships, and basically don't get into one unless you're willing to have all of the conversations about how it's going to end before you even start.
Right. Yeah. Good point. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Uh-huh. So you've got a couple of kids. Think anyone's going to take over after you?
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah.
But my daughter hasn't, I mean, she's doing what you're supposed to do, you know, having multiple careers and employers and all that kind of jazz. And so the one nice thing about this job is it's been, you know, provided me some flexibility as far as when you have a family that, you know, you can, if I had to, and that's, I guess, another good point to bring up too, is it's big enough with 12 employees that, you know, if I leave, it doesn't come to a grinding halt.
Mm-hmm.
Things don't stop if I'm not here. So that's a good thing that's going on. You know, I mean, there's things that I have to do, certainly. I mean, I can't be away indefinitely, but that's been something I've appreciated about the business. So, you know, given that, if your situation changes, Chelsea,
we know you're listening.
Yeah, maybe she'll listen to this. You know, I'm still holding that. I mean, I don't have a lot of hope, but, you know, I mean, she's got a lot of great opportunities and can do a lot of things. Very talented person. So, I don't know. But, you know, there is this. It's got.
Just putting it out there. But I think you just said something really important that, I mean, I don't know about the rest of you life coaches listening, but me personally, I see this for myself, for so many of us, where we really think that we're the only one who can do what we do. So
right. No.
I'd be curious about, how do you think about your team or your business in a way that lets you step away? Like, what do you believe about your team or believe about the business that you just know it's bigger than you and you're not the only thing?
Well, unfortunately, I had the perfect example in 1990 when my dad passed away. And I'd been with the business right after I got out of college in 82 and came back and kind of started in the back room, sweeping the floor, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, slowly moved my way up. But I was in no way prepared, or had he laid out a lot of things about how things worked and whatnot. And holy shit, you know, when he was just going in for a bypass, you know, operation, you know, heart. Oh, they do them all the time, you know, and it didn't work out, you know, and ends up passing away. And holy, so.
And how old were you?
Well, about 32 then.
Okay.
Yeah, 31. Still wet behind the ears, you know. Mm-hmm. And but you know, I had grown up in the business, and you know, so that, you know, I knew more than I thought I knew, mm-hmm. but I still remember feeling like I had a hold of this powerful motorcycle, you know, that I didn't know how to ride, and I was like trying not to turn the handlebars too much, you know, and get in the high speed wobble and crash it, you know.
Yeah,
would be my analogy. But yeah, things went along, and fortunately there'd been a key officer life insurance policy in place and gave us a cash infusion, got rid of the debt. We were in a positive business environment at the time. Things were happening in Juneau. And so, that, you know, definitely helped and went along, but, you know, there was that. And then I also, had examples of people who thought along the way, employees, that we couldn't operate without them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we don't always want to butt heads with people or whatever, but sometimes it comes down to the get down, and, you know, they're kind of like, you can really get the impression that they feel like, oh, you can't go on without me, you know, whatever.
Right. Yeah. The other side of it.
That's a very dangerous thing to do. You know, you don't want to get yourself in that position because, well, I mean, there's probably some situations where you can, some technical expertise or whatever, maybe, but in our situation, even though as small as we are and one person can mean a whole lot to the operation,
be
careful with that.
I think that's a really good point, that we are really all replaceable.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even me.
And you were the replacer.
You know, and I think part of it depends on how good of a organization you've built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of the, you know, I mean, if you're looking at it from how replaceable you are, you know, it's bad news for you, because if it's a good organization, it's going to go on. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, if it's all dependent on you, you know, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great point to get to where things have momentum beyond the
right.
Actual effort you put in that day.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like to ask everybody on here about a time in their life where they had the thought, when I'm in charge, that'll be different.
Mm-hmm.
Anything come to mind? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, it wasn't a very smart thought. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, certainly come back to bite me in the butt a few times. It's kind of like,
absolutely.
You know, I remember, you know, one of my only other previous jobs, didn't work a whole lot of other places in here, you know, and, but this one place is kind of like, oh man, that boss can be such a jerk sometimes about, you know, well, you know, pointing out something that's wrong or people standing around or whatever, you know, it's like, I'm going to do it differently, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
but then looking back, you realize, holy crap, this guy is, you know, he's got 8 balls in the air at once and a couple of plates spinning, and you don't have time to sugarcoat it for people and make, hey, you know what? It's like, I'm sure you being in the restaurant business, like, hey, table number 5 is on fire. Get it right now, you know, and fix it. And, okay. Didn't come off all smooth, sugarcoated and nice. No, you're a great employee, by the way. And you really need to do this, you know? So unfortunately I've on occasion, and another one of my shortcomings probably too, is being a little too laid back sometimes, you know.
No such thing.
I mean, you know, sometimes it helps. I don't get upset. You know, my dad always said when he was watching me pitch baseball, I was like, man, you're just so cool out there, you know, and don't, or show it anyway on the outside. But sometimes I envy people who can boil quicker. I'm slow to boil. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they, boom, they're right on the situation. Here's like, hey, knock that off. Go over here and do this and, you know, that kind of thing. And so, I don't know, hopefully, you know, you make up for it other ways with your way, whatever your way is.
Instead of fighting with who we are, let ourselves be who we are and figure out how to do it in a way that we can sleep with at night.
Fix it later because you let people get away with whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is there anything about business or about the process of being an owner that you would want to just share with folks who maybe are first-time business owners who are making this transition in their mind and their lives from just being a practitioner to actually running this thing for themselves?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've hit a lot of great points, I think, so far. But, you know, one thing I think we haven't talked about is for one summer, we put in a little satellite store downtown.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of brought some t-shirts and stuff down there, try and get a little tourist trade or whatever. And it was kind of a new venture and something different for all of us. And it was just like, no, this is just really fun trying something new. And it's kind of like that little plant I planted in the back room today. You know, it's like, I'm not a big gardener or whatever, but, you know, something new, you know, see, you know, if you water it, you know, will it grow kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a lot of this stuff. It's like, oh my God, I'm doing this profit sharing thing right now for that. We have a profit sharing program. Good. But I mean, some of the administrative crap, you know, that just like, oh, this is soul. That's not soul crushing, but
it's not your zone of genius.
Yeah. Drudgery, but you know, a lot of, you know, starting business and getting into business and creating something and you know, I can just, and providing, you know, solving problems for people and creating something that's, you know, good. That's pretty fun. Be a lot of fun. And, you know, this was kind of a new, we moved from where we were for 25 years at the Nugget Mall and, you know, moving, like being in a house for 25 years and then, you know, how much that process is and coming over and starting something new. That's all pretty exciting, you know? And so exhausting, not something you want to do all the time, but.
Did the satellite store pay off?
No.
But it was fun to kind of get out of your normal routine and just try something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think experimentation is key, as long as you're not messing with your moneymaker.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You gotta keep the main stove fed there. You cannot let the fire go out there. Neglect, you know, that.
I mean, that's a fun part. I think that's part of the play is this podcast for me is play. It's like, let's see what we can do next. Let's see what the impact is. Let's see what the outcomes are and just go try something new.
Yeah, I need to do something like that because, you know, come and do the sunset of my business career. But, you know, getting tired or lazy or, you know, not.
Get you a podcast called On the Trail with Ron. Get you a weekly episode. Okay. So normally I ask people a series of kind of quick fire questions at the end. And because you're here and you're a total gearhead, we're going to ask you questions that are going to make our lives better in our closets, on our feet, on the trail. So what's one thing that you won't travel without? And you can say all of the things you sell at your store. We will put the link to your store. Go to town.
Well, yeah, I should have Ron's top 10 list here, you know, like my super feet insoles or whatever. Going back to the shoe department again, you know. You know, maybe it's something like, you know, extra tough, but for our country, extra tough boots or, you know, maybe some wool clothing, you know, hat.
Yeah.
Lip balm, you know, whatever.
But what's one thing when you get on the road to like go to a buyer show or whatever, what do you not leave the house without?
Well, it's kind of the one time I get to read on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I got reports and crap too. I'm supposed to read, but I don't know. It feels like I'm, you know, sorry, I'm not giving you the silver bullet, you know. Well, it's just, well, the thing you have to have is your checklist. that you've developed over the years that show, you know, that I've got one for hot travel and one for going someplace cold, and then one for the Klondike Relay, one for the boat weekend trip, one for...
You're speaking my dream language. You actually have a checklist for every kind of trip you take?
Well, there's half a dozen of them anyway.
That's amazing. I'm always wanting to do that, but not following through.
Yeah. I could send
amazing.
It. It's, yeah.
Yeah, send it on over. Would love to see it.
All
right. How about, what is your favorite brand of socks right now?
Man, you know, well, for running, I like Features.
Mm-hmm.
For in my extra tough boots, I like my old, Fox River, you know, the ones with the oatmeal colored bottom, the gray shaft and the red top, the ones you've seen all your life, you probably might have a pair.
I might have a pair of those. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I can't go with one. Darn Tough. It's a great brand. Smart Wool makes good stuff too. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your favorite base layer right now?
Yeah, I think the Merino, we did a hut trip this winter, snowshoeing,
mm-hmm.
4 cabins, 4 nights. And I wore this same Smart Wool lightweight zip top base layer on the whole time. And then I got home and I probably wore that every minute. I slept in it too, you know, got home. I thought, okay, let's see what grows in it. If I just leave it here in the floor, you know, for a couple of days. And I picked it up and smelled it again. I was like, that's amazing.
That is amazing.
I mean, there's some of that synthetic stuff that will transport moisture faster and dry out quicker, but
stinks faster.
Smelling out.
Yeah. Okay. What's the product in your store or the like item that kind of surprised you the most recently?
Oh, right. No, jeez. So you should give me this question. Should let me
be more of a thoughtful guy.
get that head. Something I know that I've been amazed with recently. Man, we got so dang many products in here, but there's something new.
Too much good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be. Yeah, the wool stuff is that good. I'm trying to think of some kind of where, you know, we're getting some of this new Fjall Raven stuff that's comes mm-hmm. from close to Norway, Sweden.
Yeah.
And they make some, I mean, the pair of pants has 112 separate pieces of fabric in it. And so the fit on it, yeah.
Fits you like a glove?
Yeah. It's amazing. Hang on.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, last question. What's the kind of most nostalgic item hanging out in your office right now that you just keep around, even in the moves?
I've got, well, they can't see this, but I got my baseball mitt that I started playing baseball with.
You do? Look at that thing. That looks old.
Yeah, this is the old Wilson, you know, this is KNY Little League. And I have my dad's baseball from when he coached the 1957 Anchorage All-Alaska. Well, they went to Anchorage, you know.
Uh-huh.
Pictures of them getting on the whatever DC-3 or Convair or whatever it was. But so yeah, I got that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, huh? Well, sounds pretty good.
I love it. All right, well. I have many fond memories of coming and hanging out in all of your stores, two of them. I think I saw that little satellite one time.
Yeah.
Been good to have you here and hear your perspective on Generation 2, doing something that you can do, like to do, want to do well, want to show up for in the town you really want to be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out to me.
Yeah.
Makes me feel better about it.
There's a million roads to satisfaction. All right. Well, thank you for being here
for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to have a visit.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I want to also remind you that all of the links that I ever mentioned on the show can be found in the show notes. And if you ever want to hang out and have a little more fun, join me at the Playground, the free Facebook group for coaches.